Spirit of the Lord is here. I said the Spirit of the Lord is here in this place. You all may be seated, please. God is good and He is worthy to be praised. How many of you all have been listening to the news? Every day, someone is getting shot, killed. The war is going on. The pandemic is up in its speed in a little bit. I think we have a million or so people have passed in the United States alone, something like that. They call that number. That lets me know how bad we need a Savior. I'm going to be talking this morning about that little flap behind that enamel fence. But the title I got was The Power You Have in Your Speech. And as I talk about this, and I'm going to bring about a familiar story, God wants us to utilize our speech. God wants you to use the power that He has allowed you to have in your speech. Today we're going to find out what this power is all simple problems all about, simply through your use of your tongue.
Amen.
If we follow God's rule to the letter, we have that power to speak to this mountain, and it shall be moved. I don't care how large the problem is in your life. The scripture I'm going to start off with, Mark chapter 11. Jesus is going to refer to a mountain, and this symbolically referring to the problems that can be against you. The problems you're too big to climb over, too big to cruise. You can't go under it. You can't peep through it. Jesus calls it a mountain. So in Mark 11:20, He says, as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the root up. Now you have to understand why this is such a big deal. While they're looking at this fig tree that's rotten, withered from the bottom to the top, from the rooty to the fruity. This is a fig tree messed up from the root up. We'll go back. Okay, yeah, what's that? When you moonwalk, don't you look like you're going forward, but you're moving back? Well, I'm going to ask you to moonwalk a little bit to verse 12. Verse 12 says, on the next day, when they had left Bethany, He became hungry. That is, Jesus became hungry. Verse 13, seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, He said, Jesus, who went to see if it perhaps He would find anything on it. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Verse 14, He said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And His disciples were listening. Now, according to verses 12 through 14, Jesus was hungry. And there was this fig tree. Jesus wants to eat some figs to deal with his hunger. He is expecting some figs because the tree was in leaf. In other words, the tree was alive. It looked alive. It had leaves on it. But there was no leaf. There were leaves on the tree, indicating that there would be figs on them for him to eat. But he goes over to the tree and sees leaf, but no figs. And even though it wasn't time for figs to be ripe, he expected enough there for him to get something because the tree showed leaves, which indicated there was life in the tree. But when Jesus walked over to the tree, he sees the tree, the leaves, but no figs. The leaves give you the impression to expect some figs. So what we got is a pretend tree. It looks like it's ripe. It looks like it's ready. It looks like there's some figs on it. It had. But when he arrives, it was showtime. It was leaf with no life. He looked at the tree and says, "No one will ever eat from you again." Now why? Because you're fake. You got leaves but no life. There is no fig there. You are a fake tree. Now between verses 12 and verses 14, when he speaks to the fig, to the tree, "No one will eat from you again." That was end in verse 20. When you see that the tree is rotten from the root up, Jesus goes to the temple between these two tree scenarios. He goes to the temple, well, he goes to the church. And that familiar story, he turns over the tables in the church. Now, why did Jesus do this? Because the leaders were fake. In other words, they were using the church to rob people, to steal from people. He was steering people wrong. They were using church folk and messing them up. So he had to, reason he says there would be no figs in the season. And the reason was that the tree had dried up and died. It's because of a spiritual lesson he is going to show us disciples. So his disciples, us disciples, he's showing us now about what happens in the church. In other words, you church folk are fake. You look like you got life because you're showing leaves. You got on leaf suits, leaf jackets, leaf shirts, leaf ties. You look real, but you're fake. And so he goes in there and just turns things upside down. When he comes back to the tree in verse 20, some of the guys nudge Peter. You know that because it says in verse 21, being reminded Peter. So somebody or somebodies was reminding Peter. He said, so the disciples were nudging Peter, said, "Pete, you see that tree? Ain't that the tree Jesus said yesterday wasn't going to bear fruit? Any figs?" "I guess not. That thing is dead. From the root to the fruit. From the bottom to the top. The tree is gone." Now, why are they bringing up this, making a such big deal out of this? Y'all still here? All right, I'm going a little bit further. The big deal is this. All of this happened overnight. In other words, the day before, he just said, "Nobody's going to eat from you again." That's all he said. But they come by the next day, and the tree is dead. The tree is all dried up. The tree is gone. It's not just gone, it's from the bottom to the top, from the rooty to the fruity. It had completely withered when it was leaf the day before. So they said, "Peter," because you know, Peter liked to talk. Matter of fact, in one part, Jesus called Peter the voice of thunder. Peter's gonna run his mouth. "That tree is totally gone in less than 24 hours. How can this be that overnight?" I mean, he just spoke to it yesterday, and here it is, it's gone. How can it be overnight this big thing happened? So Peter, since he was one of the spokesmen on behalf of the disciples, I told you he's a big talk. He loved to talk. Verse 21 says, "Rabbi, Master," he says to Jesus, "look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." Jesus, do you see what happened to what you said yesterday? What happened to that tree today? It's gone. Let's look at the tree. Verse 22 says, Jesus answers, saying to them, have faith in God. Now, wait a minute. All I asked you was to look at the tree. I didn't bring up God. All I said was, look at the tree. That's all I said to you. But Jesus knew what he was asking. How could this much happen so quick? And the reason was Peter, his disciples, were amazed because that turn of events could take place in a short time because Jesus had faith in God. In other words, Jesus was telling them, my faith in God brought about this result this quick.
That's right.
All that happened overnight because I had faith in God. The kind of faith I want you all to have. Because he's telling them, have faith in God. I'm telling you all, have faith in God. It's on the loudspeaker. I'm telling myself, have faith in God. In other words, Jesus was telling them, my faith in God brought about this result so quick. All this happened overnight because of faith in God. And the kind of faith I want you all to have. Because he's telling them, have faith in God. Okay, Jesus, I got that. You're telling us to have faith in God. Produce that kind of results this quickly. Absolutely, Jesus was replying. And as Jesus says in verse 23, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. When we are going through a trial, something that's too high for us to jump over, we can't go around, it's just too big, Jesus is telling you, first of all, have faith in God. He says, wow, Jesus, how could this tree change so quick? Well, it's simple. Have faith in God. And I say to you folks, if you do what I did, you'll get what I got. Because he says to them, truly I say to you. In other words, when he says truly, sometimes he said, truly, truly, verily, verily, he got something here he wants you to remember. He got something very important to tell you. So he is not talking about himself anymore. He is talking about them and what they could expect in the mountains of their lives. He said, I said to you, if you said to this mountain, wait a minute, Jesus, I am talking to a mountain? We are some in Christ that are saved. They always tell us when they see us doing something unusual, we call it peculiar. They call us crazy. I thought I was supposed to be talking to God, but no, he says, I want you to speak to this mountain that's a problem in itself. He says, let's moonwalk again. Let's go back to what Jesus do. He went to the tree, and he had a conversation with the tree. He told the tree, nobody is ever going to eat from you again. And that was in verse 14. He is telling the tree that an inanimate object, tree, you are done. Tree is over for you. Tree, this because you have no figs for me to eat, this tree is on the mountain called the Mount of Olives. So it's on a mountain. Jesus says, this principle, disciples, that I am getting ready to tell you, and I'm telling Eric Martin to tell you all, not only applies to the tree, it applies to any circumstance in your life. There's any problem that you may be having. That's too big for you can't even fathom getting through it. You can use this principle with the whole mountain if you want to. That's how strong that word is. Amen. You can be able to speak to the mountain. And the mountains would go jump in the Dead Sea. Because, see, this mountain was near the Dead Sea. He starts off with, have faith in God again. Jesus, I said, started off before ever said anything to the tree. First of all, he had faith in God. So before I said anything, I believed something. What I believed determined what I said. Have faith in God. So I said, why? Well, let's go back again. I'm going to keep y'all moonwalking for a few minutes. When God wanted to bring the visible world into existence, he spoke. In other words, God brings things into reality by what he says. So before you see it, God had to say it. But before God could say it, he had to think it, because words are thoughts made audible. So God thought it, then God said it, and said, let there be. And guess what? There it was. So if you can get God to say something, you can see something, because whatever God says becomes a visible reality. Jesus is saying, man, I had checked with God to say something. And based on what he said, I talked. And when I talk, what I said happened, because prior to my talking, me and Jesus, you know, we had a conversation. And I believed God. So I said this. When God created, he created man in his image. Man to be like God, which explains why God brought all the animals to Adam. And that's in Genesis chapter 2. He says, whatever you name them, that will be its name. I'm going to give you the right talk. I'm going to give you the right talk. And when you talk, you will speak with authority, because whatever you name them, I'm going to agree with you. But you can only name them if I bring them. So he bought the animals, but Adam couldn't name the animals. Why? Because man was made in the image of God. And when man's word reflects God's word, whatever man's words say has to happen, because God has already obeyed and okayed it prior to you speaking about it. Words carry weight. That means if you are a weighty person, meaning you get all your information from God. When God talks, he's not just mouthing stuff. When God talks, he talks to create. When God talks, he talks to employ. He talks for something to result out of his speech. So Jesus is saying, I could talk to the tree because I have talked to God. Now, if Jesus couldn't do anything with power except the Father tell him, what make you think we can talk without Jesus and God and expect results? So Jesus is saying, how could you talk to the tree? He said, I could talk to it because I talked to God. My faith in God gave me the authority. My faith in God gave me the authority to give instructions to a problem tree. Let me say that again in maybe another way. Your declaration must have authorization. A lot of people are saying, well, God told me. Well, if God didn't tell you anything, you're just making noise. Declarations regarding mountains, big situations in your life, must have the authorization in order for the decoration to bring about a transformation. If the transformation does not give a declaration preceded by the authorization, there will be no transformation. Do not ask me to repeat that. But if the authorization is carried out in the decoration to the situation that needs a transformation, then you can expect a reversal in that circumstance that's been holding you back. If you want to deal with your mountain, that's something that is illegitimately in your way, something big. I was with Antoine a few months ago, and he went to bid on some property that this cleaning company wanted to take to clean. And we went to several different places, different buildings and everything. And on some of those buildings, I think the Social Security was in one, and then I think the police had something in another. You couldn't get through that because it says unauthorized personnel. In other words, in order for even if he got the building, in order for us to even get through to walk through to see what's in, see how the task was going to be, so we can properly price something, we had to get authorization to get through, to do what we need to do. Then you need to get heaven to talk so you can speak. So the things can change. Yes. He says, say to the mountain, if you talk directly to the problem, because he talked to the tree, he talked directly to the tree. And Jesus says, you can even talk to a mountain. I mean, if you had the faith, the grain of a mustard seed. I think I did when I brought a mustard seed, let you know how about the size of a mustard seed. You can speak to your mountain, speak to your problem, and it says it'll go away from you. You can defeat it. It'll go jump in the Dead Sea if you like. And Jesus says, you can even talk to a mountain. If you said to this mountain, did you know you have power in your speech to talk to your mountain? That's what he wants you to know. If he's going to find out some stipulations, you have some rules to go by, but you can speak to any situation, I don't care what size it is, in your life, you can speak to that mountain and it shall move to yonder place. But see, I'm going to show you something in a minute. To actually tell your mountain, your problem, what to do. Go in that sea, because I told you to go in that sea. That was the Dead Sea that this mountain was near. Let's put it this way. We all have power in our homes. We have power in our homes because we have electricity. That means, that is if you paid your bill. That means you are connected to a power source. So God is expecting those of us who have been created in his image and recreated in Jesus Christ to have so much authorization from heaven, we can dictate to the problem, to the mountain, whatever it is that it had to, we can dictate what it had ought to do. But most of us, in most cases, mountains are dictating to us. But in most cases, mountains are dictating to us because we are not doing what the Bible says do. We're not saying what the Bible says. And if we are talking to God, there's some other things we have to line up first. Verse 24 says, Mark 11, verse 24, he said, I said to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Did you read it good? Did you understand every word? Say this to you. All things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted to you. He introduces another communication, a word. Prayer. Now, wait a minute. Prayer is talking to God, right? All right. But what are we talking? See, I'm talking to the mountain. So I'm having two conversations. Here, I'm having a conversation with God and my problem. Why am I having a conversation with God? To make sure that the conversation you're getting ready to have with the mountain has been authorized.
That's right.
Because if it's not authorized in a contact with God, there will be no power in the communication with it. But if it is authorized in the communication by faith with Him, then I have the authority to communicate with it, my problem, and really get to talk to my situation. God doesn't only want me talking to Him. He wants me talking to that mountain. If you say to the mountain, that's the problem, that's the situation, I'm supposed to be having two conversations. First with God, then speaking directly to my problem. But please notice the tense of the word. In verse 24, he says, believe that you have received it. Wait a minute, I'm confused, Lord. What's going on? He didn't say, believe that you will receive it.
That's right.
He says, believe that you already have received it.
Hallelujah.
Faith is believing and receiving without even seeing. I need God to take care of this today, tomorrow. I'm praying for this in the future. But He talks about the past.
Hallelujah.
He says, I don't want you praying that you will.
Hallelujah.
See, I want you praying that you have.
Hallelujah.
He speaks in past tense. He speaks in yesterday's language. Isaiah, you don't have to turn. I just jotted these down. Isaiah 65. And I read five different versions in different Bibles about this. Isaiah 65, 24 says that prayer releases what God has already intended to do. Isaiah 45 and 11 says that God lets us command Him regarding the things that He has purposed. God literally allows us to tell Him what to do. Why? Because He has already decided to do it.
Amen.
Well, I don't know about you, but knowing I've got that kind of power, that kind of clout, amen. I told you last time I spoke on the mouth, I eat it, swallow it. I want to taste some of it. I bring it back up, regurgitate it, eat it some more, swallow it. Oh, I got to bring that up again. This was good. And regurgitate it and chew it. And then it gets so nice, it gets so part of my body, I just let it soak on down the last time because now it's all like juice, blood running through every part of my body. He says, you can speak to that mountain. Tell that mountain, get out of my life, get out of my way, leave me alone, bug off, give me a break. And I can't literally tell that mountain, get out of here. You can literally do that. Get out of here, mountain, just in my way. Things, what he says, and you're saying it. You're talking to a problem after having faith, after being authorized. Look at how the two work together. Romans 8 and 10 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart, that is the word of faith with which we are preaching. Now, Paul telling the Romans, I'm preaching this. So since Paul was preaching, he says the word is near you because you're listening. If you receive the word, it's in your heart. But it's also purpose to be in your mouth. That's why it's called the word of faith. Because It's a belief word you're expressing. So he calls it the word of faith because it's a relief word, a belief word that you're expressing. It's a declaration of what you believe and what God will do in this scenario about your situation. So he actually doesn't want you to just thinking about it. He wants you expressing it. He wants you to determine that the will of God is based on. It's based on God's will. It's based on God's word. Based on God's character. Everything that God, when you go to God and pray, everything is based on God. Everything. He will tell you what to do. It's okay, this is my situation. I pray to the Lord about my situation. Listen, I got his authorization, because if it's like getting stuff out of your way and helping you along this treacherous world that we live in, God is always for you if you're saved. But you have to go before him the right way. And he has some particulars in mind. He wants you expressing it. He wants to determine what the will of God is based on God's will, based on God's word, based on God's character. And he wants to based on the fact that you believe it in your heart. Yes. To demonstrate that you believe, by letting it come out of your mouth. Amen. He says, I preach it so you will use it. So if you only hear the preaching, Paul says in Romans 10 and 8, and it doesn't become your word of faith, believing it enough to express it, then it becomes dormant information.
Wow.
That is of no ongoing value to your spiritual victory in life.
Amen.
God wants his word not only to be heard, but to be articulated in this scenario. Now, he does give a condition. This is what I'm telling you about. You got the condition. In verse 25, he says, whenever you stand praying, forgive if anything against you, anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you of your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you of your transgressions. That alone stopped a lot of Christians getting out of the mess that they find themselves in.
Amen. Amen.
He says, you can be asking for my help and be living with an unforgiving spirit. Now watch this. You can have people with knowledge who don't have authorization. Psychologist has knowledge. A psychologist can tell you what's wrong, but they can't write you a prescription. Only a psychiatrist can write a prescription, because a psychiatrist is a medical doctor. See, a lot of us are spending a lot of our time talking to psychologists, spiritual folks who sounds like they know everything. They know the whole Bible. They know what they're talking about. They know a lot of stuff, but they can't write you a prescription because they don't have the Word of God deep in our house to even give you the information that you really need based on God's Word. See, God depends on His Word. Whether you're going in this conversation, or whether you're in this predicament, or where you're going out, it all depends on God's Word and how you approach God with that Word. So after your meeting is over with the psychologist, after your phone call is done, after your complaining is over, you're still sick. Because they couldn't write anything to make you better. All they could do is help you analyze how bad off you are. But when you talk to the doctor who has authorized to write a prescription and give you the written word. I'm talking about the doctor of doctors now.
Right.
To give you the written word to the pharmacist, He gives you something that can change your health and make you better.
Amen.
If you're tired of your mountain controlling you, God says, I want you to go to what I wrote because I know and I've been authorized. And if you will trust me enough, even though you don't understand everything in this book, even though you can't figure out everything in this book, even though you don't speak Hebrew, you don't understand Hebrew, even though you don't understand Greek, but you do understand English. And if you can get to understand this English and go by my rules the way that I put it and use my word like you came to me in prayer, I authorized you to speak because your heart was good. You weren't had aught against anybody, so your heart is clean. I can't do anything but move. And when you use it to speak to your problem, the mountains in your life, and watch this, you know, you can tell your addictions to jump in the sea. You can tell your enemies to jump in the sea. You can watch your emotions go jump in the sea. You can watch your circumstances go jump in the sea. Why? Because I am the Almighty God and I have authority. I gave you the authority and I have authority to rise your victory in this life. You know, there's a lot of things. I left here, Pastor Tony, Monday night. I got home, ate a snack or something, but didn't eat that much. Went to bed. The Lord kept me up all night. I didn't sleep not one minute. You know what he was talking about? He carried me back to everything from the beginning had no idea, wondering, why would I be thinking about this? He showed me everything. He showed me why he did it. He showed me where I was going, just because I had to go through this. And when I got to that, he showed me and said, you got pain. And the other thing I thought about, the thorn in side. And I kept on going. He says, all of this was because I have allowed it and I brought you through it and you had to get through this in order to get in the position that I will have you in.
Amen. Come on.
Let me tell you something. And when you learn how to use the word,
hallelujah.
See, we have to learn how to use it. Because when I first, my father kept me in church. I believed in God. So when at first I used the word, I says, Lord, I want to come back here the same way that I'm leaving. I was going to now, the same way that I'm leaving. God, after understanding what God has already authorized that, I had already a year and a half to spend over. Let me tell you, I'm not going to tell you things didn't happen. I flew from Richmond to California. Two from California, we had 16, 17 hours. We stopped in Anchorage, Alaska. We stopped in Japan. It stayed light the whole time. In the last hour, it was pitch black. But when the plane landed, Benoit Air Force Base supposed to be a secured area. Back in 68, we had to, after the plane landed, they rushed us off the plane because we were getting hit with rockets.
Wow.
It was boom, boom, all around us. And I said, welcome to Vietnam. I thought they were giving me some parade, a salute. People looked at me like I had gone flipped. It was around born at 18 and going crazy. I ran with the rest of them, but it didn't affect me. It didn't affect me, I said, because of my faith in God. All y'all who was on this plane were saved. Because it didn't affect me. He was telling me stuff, Pastor Tony. And I got back the way. This is how, when we pray, the situation hadn't arisen, but he had already authorized me. It's already been authorized. It's the same with the piece of property that we bought. See, back in 73, we got married in 1970. We stayed in a hotel. We stayed in an apartment, but we had my father-in-law's house, my mother-in-law's house. The last said, if you want to stay here, you know, until you get the land and build your house. And we didn't have anything modern. You know, we had electricity, lights, that was it. I asked Linda, I said, Linda, you sure you want to do this? Because I knew it's gonna be hard. No bathroom, had outside outhouse, and no running water in the house. It's gonna be tough. And Antoine was a little baby then, and the house would get very cold in the winter, but we had enough patch holes in the wall, you know, stuff. But this is how God works. So when we finally got the land, I think we brought the land from Linda's parents, and when they were putting the foundation, I told Linda, let's walk the property. We walked that property. And I just, not really understanding everything, I said, Lord, we just dedicate this property to you. Amen. And thank you for letting us use it. And we walked it. We walked the land, didn't we? But see, I didn't understand the totality of what I said, because I didn't know that few years. See, when people say, what? Your house payment was what? Yeah, it was regularly $135 a month. But the first 4 months, we had to pay taxes while they were building it, so it was $175. I said, man, $135 had me breathing hard. And then, but we had to go to $175 for 4 months, I said. And then on top of that, couldn't nothing happen to that property? Couldn't nobody take it from us? I gave the testimony a few. I mean, it's been up for auction, what, 3 times? And one time I chased a man with the camera off the property. We had 2 churches. I know it has started from that house. Yes. I dedicated that whole property, I mean everything that's on it, dedicated to God. God knew a time was coming when he had already authorized, because it belongs to him. He's just letting us live there. But God says, it's yours. I'm not going to let anything take it away from you. And all 3 times, money came out of place. I could not tell you where it come from. One time, it was $3,000 behind. 3 months almost. That's why the guy was taking pictures. After that, they come, you know, thought, I said, man, you better get off here. I won't as kind as I am now. I didn't say anything bad. I just chased him off my property. And when he backed up and parked in a neighbor's driveway, I had just pulled up because I was working for F&R, and I was doing a job in that area. I just came home for a sandwich. And I started walking toward his car. I'd never seen a man move so fast. But nothing could happen to it because God had already authorized what was ours. We just used it, but it was his. I gave it to him. I said, God, this is yours. Time after time after time again, until we start realizing what we are saying. Then I can use this system every time something big come up, every time I know something coming up that I really need. I have a formula to go by. I know I can't have any unforgiveness. I can go to God and pray. I can get the authorization. I can get the okay to speak to it, but my heart's got to be right. Anyone from this point, this world is turning upside down, shaking up. God is soon to come back. You heard that many times, but it's closer today than it was yesterday. What he wants you to do is use his word. You can ask to tell God what you want, because he's already approved it. It shall come true. We got to get that word. We got to eat it. We got to chew it. We got to taste it. We got to let it go down. We got to regurgitate it until we get this word. Here's the only way you're going to navigate through this world today. Food is scarce. It's high. Gasoline. Woo. Who ever thought? We are done in the depression. But he's telling us the only way out is through him. Have faith in God. Heavenly Father, once again, let's give your name all the glory, honor, and all the praise. Father, we just thank you for all that you're doing in this place. I thank you, Father, for the hungriness. But you say your word was sweeter than the honey of a honeycomb. I thank you for, we have members here that are eating up your word, Lord. And not only did it taste so good that we let it go down, we bring it up again. Lord, we just have to savor your taste, that taste of your word, that it become part of us, Lord. And let that blood flow through every extremity of our being. Lord, when you said you speak of healing, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for being the healer. We said, you know the problem that's get hard to get along. I thank you now, Lord, for my healing, my complete healing. Everyone else in this sanctuary right now, if you have any problems, I don't care what it is, you go ahead, you can pray that prayer for yourself, and God says it's already been authorized, and healing shall be yours. You got people in your life that's coming up against you. God has already authorized. You can tell it to jump into the Dead Sea. But the important note is, remove all the malice out of your heart. Because God said, don't expect anything to change, even though you follow the certain procedures, that the guidelines that he has given us. But if you mess up one of those procedures, that is malice, unforgiveness in your heart, don't think that I will do anything for you. But Father, I thank you, Lord, for this is God's miracle church. I thank you, Father, for your waters flowing heavy in this place, Lord. I thank you that the Spirit is heavy in this place. I thank you that the hearts are prepared already to just digest your word. Father, every need in this place today, I lift it up to you. Father, I thank you that if anything is wrong, you will speak to their heart individually and tell them what they need to drop or what they need to pick up. And Father, I ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.